Yeah, not that anybody's asked, but that's my all-time favorite oldie. It's Bertha Tillman and Oh My Angel, played on the original Brent label, of course. All right, we are talking about angels and UFOs, and we're talking to Victoria Lillenquist, victoriaslight.com. Gotten a lot of emails, and again, it's people saying, I want more specifics. We left Victoria saying, oh yeah, I got advance notice of 9/11. So we'll find out a little more about what she knew about that or knows about that, since there are so many questions that continue to surround that, and we'll get to them, as well as, of course, what many of us are thinking about what's coming next. So all that and more right here with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. It is Coast to Coast AM. I am Raleigh James. Victoria Lillenquist is here with us, and I got to say, Victoria, a lot of people shooting me a lot of questions, and they're all asking for specifics, so we're going to see what we can do here. Want to get back to 9/11. You said you saw what was to come on September 9th. Did you have an inkling about it prior to that?
Actually, what I did discover is one of my most profound encounters that I filmed on December 24th of 2000, which is on the movie trailer that's on the website if people, you know, go and watch that. But it's when this, 10-prong tetrahedron spinning Merkava vehicle goes into slow motion. There's like 250 pictographic images that appear from that one piece of footage that was like, 10, 12 minutes long on Christmas Eve in 2000. As I studied that film footage over and over again, they were revealing to me in these pictographs, I was seeing what looked like twin towers. I was seeing an airplane. I was seeing energy that looked like bombs going off. And I didn't understand what it meant at that time, but then when 9/11 happened, I went back and I thought, they were trying to alert me, because I was actually communicating as I was filming this vehicle, and my friend could see it with her physical eyes, the same profound images. I was asking, are we going to have peace? Because they were showing me a white dove of peace. But prior to that, they were showing this other energy. So I feel that they were trying to warn me and alert me that, yes, we're going to go through some difficult times. This is part of the transition. And I have to say at this time that we're really living the past. I believe that we're in this drama, but the outcome of this planet has already been determined, and we're just here in the drama and the play.
Okay, well, things since then, of course, have gotten more hectic on a number of levels, including those who are using fear to induce behavior in some of us. And, of course, the controversy that's arisen from 9/11, you can't get around that. For instance, I had one person say, well, did she see all the people putting the explosives in the building? And when you said energy that looks like bombs, it kind of makes you wonder. So my first question is, did you get any visions as to who was the prime mover in starting this?
When I had that vision, I was yelling at both Bush and Bin Laden.
Okay.
But the other thing I want to mention, and this was after 9/11 happened, I was studying the footage of the planes going into the towers. And, well, okay, I get these transmissions. They tell me sort of how to extract things from film footage that I go backwards in time is what I do. And I could see saucers hovering over the planes before they went into the building, on my film footage.
What do you take that to mean?
That I believe that they were teleporting people out of those planes before they went into the building. And then there was a saucer that showed up on the other side of the building you know, where the plane would have, you know, come all the way through, you know. And so I feel that these things, I mean, it's I know it's going to blow some people's minds, but this, I feel, was part of this process of activating. It brought the world together.
It momentarily.
It also kicked off some really bad stuff, but it did bring some unification of consciousness.
Momentarily.
Yeah, you know, it woke people up.
Well, as I say, I think that you're right. Initially, there was a worldwide unity. Today, I think we are considerably further apart than before the event, both within our country and in other countries. So the next question is, and it's, you know, I'm sure it's easier to back engineer something and look at it and say, ah, this means this. And I get that. It's sort of like looking at Nostradamus and making it what you want it to be. But in looking forward, and that is more difficult, have any of these images shown you other untoward events to come before what you term that ultimate peace?
Well, yes, because in the film footage with the Merkaba showing over the trees in Sedona in 2000, I could actually see people moving inside. It was like they were showing me, like if you were broadcasting an event through video satellite someplace, they were actually showing me people inside, and I believe that what's going to transpire is galactic contact. And I can honestly say to you, I feel that that's going to be totally visible and acknowledged worldwide.
When's it going to happen?
Probably in May.
In May of May of 2008.
Yes.
Now, will
yes.
that galactic context sort of say, hey, straighten up your act, we're taking over?
No. Well, I don't know if you're going to say take it over, because the ultra-terrestrial intelligences that are communicating with me, it's not about taking over the planet, but it's about activating this new paradigm. We're going into this new meridian of time.
Well, when I say taking over, you know, there's been a lot of UFO sightings near military bases, for instance, and some people say anecdotally that they've been seen in big amounts near bases where nuclear activity is present, and then they've dropped off when the material was removed. And you hear about commonalities like that. And by taking over, I mean, there are people who believe that if we cross a certain threshold or go to a certain point, that there are intergalactic beings who will not allow that.
Absolutely, and I concur on that. That they,
right.
they will not. I know I heard on your advertisement, I'm not sure who that was talking about nuclear war, but I don't believe, and from my transmissions and, you know, I always check in on my dowsing, and that's how I got the Olympic sighting to the day, to the moment, to the time. I mean, it's very clear. I don't think we're going to have a nuclear war, but it's getting very delicate there, but they will step in.
All right. Are we going to have, in your mind, another 9/11 level event?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, looking at it back in time, way back in time, have we blown ourselves up a few times before? Have we gone back to the cave days previously in terms of civilization here?
Absolutely. I mean, this planet's, you know, been doing this for a long time. And frankly, you know, the other races, they've had their lessons. They've gone through similar things. And, you know, they don't want to see us make the same errors. And one of the things, you know, that has happened in my experiences is there's a phenomena that started appearing above my head. It was a diamond-shaped window, but it was over and over again over 2 years period of time. But it was either pointing outward or pointing downward, as in ascending, descending. But it did transpire when I was in Peru, where the ancients were supposedly lifted off of the earth prior to the great floods. And I feel that, you know, we are really in that period now. The waters are rising. They have been showing me, you know, the earth will be cleansed through fire, water, and volcanoes, and they actually have given it to me through photography. They've shown me other dimensions on film, and okay. They show me earth changes on film.
Now, when you say other dimensions, this also gives rise to the multiverse theory, the belief that there are alternate realities, some of unlimited quantity, perhaps, where every possibility is, in fact, played out. Is that the case here?
Yes, yes. And you know, there's the layers, because, I mean, I will be out to meet with the ships where they've told me to go, and I will shoot a photograph into the dark, and I will get a whole other kind of image on film.
Okay, now this raises an interesting question to me when you said, yes, they would stop us if we got past that point of no return. And you also had mentioned that, yes, we've blown ourselves off a few times before. So the two questions that I have is, number one, if they've let us do it before, why is it not okay this time? And if every possibility occurs in some realm, why not here?
Well, this earth that we know, the way it is right now, this earth can go through things. But as I mentioned before, this second earth, this holographic earth that is pristine, that is passing through, we are getting ready to experience something that has never transpired. Now, I'm not a scientist. I am just a very clear intuitive. And everything that I have been shown so far has transpired, I mean, from, you know, in the healing world, in the galactic world, in the psychic world. And so I can honestly say that there might be some individuals that are going to experience that other reality mm-hmm. that people are afraid of if they're not willing to raise their consciousness. But I believe that there's going to be a separation, and it's going to depend on the consciousness. Everyone has their own right to their own picture of reality, but many people are taking the bull by the horns and saying, okay, you know, I'm going to create my picture of reality. See, I don't have fear the of what's going to happen to my reality, because I've seen what's going to come for me and for others that are in their thought processes and their vibration. Our frequencies, our electromagnetics are changing. And so, yes, there might be people that are going to be in their reality. They're going to be remaining
right. I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Now, so here comes this ethereal earth, so to speak, approaching. And when it gets here, I assume it stops dead, and here we are. How are we going to know that this has happened? Is there anything in this shift that we're going to wake up one day and say, wow, it happened?
Well, actually, they showed that to me in a third vision, and it was the morning that Princess Diana passed. And they showed in my vision, opening up the windows, the curtains, and looking out, and the earth had made the shift. It looked, you know, the streets looked, you know, somewhat the same, but it's like the earth had gone through a car wash.
Had it already happened at this point? Because if it did, I missed it. Has it happened, or when will that happen?
Well, no, what they were showing that to me as something in the future.
Okay, and
you don't know. That was the vision that they showed me the morning that she passed away. This was the third vision that went along with the other two that I'd had in March of that same year. All of these were in 1997, and here we are in 2007.
Now, did they show you the year that this would occur, or is this the May 2008 event?
Well, you know, it's been 10 years since that vision, and every year I ask, okay, is this the year? And I really feel that we are in that window.
So they said yes, finally?
Yes. All right. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is that, you know, with the maps that have been done, you know, the I Am America map and George Michael Scallion's map, they show the different land masses, and people say, well, oh my gosh, so all those other areas are underwater. But what they have shown me, Raleigh, is this, that if you were to take one of those maps and put it over our Earth that is this lower level, okay, and that the new Earth is that map. And so the land masses that are present on those maps, just give, you know, just give this a chance to see how you feel about this. But it's like emerging through. So those land masses that are present on the map have actually ascended from this Earth to create that new map. It's not so much that that all of those areas have gone underwater per se, but it's more that they have ascended onto the new Earth.
And they're already there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are the people there with it?
Excuse me?
Are the people there with it? The land masses on the new Earth.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Do they know it?
It's like walking through a doorway. I mean, I'll give you an example. When people come to where I live, and it doesn't matter where it is, you know, whether it was in Phoenix or Colorado, and they walk in and they say, you know what, your place feels different. I mean, it feels like a different dimension. My landlord said to me, are you really immortal? I mean, this is, and it's because the energy field of where I vibrate and my pitch of reality, and this is why I say, hey, you know, folks, if you can either embrace the fear, you can embrace all the propaganda and all the mind control of what they're wanting to create to scare the hell out of people, okay. Or you can say, hey, you know, that's not going to be my route. I'm going to use my consciousness, and I'm going to seek for you know, the next level. And that's what the Brotherhood of Light and their Merkabah vehicles. I mean, my website, I hope, I don't know what Coast to Coast is showing, if they're showing any of the other photographs. But
there they are.
There's amazing phenomena that appears in my film footage. But people, you have the power to create the reality that you want to embrace.
I think that's always been the case. We're not only in this doorway, but on some level, whether we can access that or not is certainly a good debate. But on some level, yes, the reality that we have is the one we have created. Now, you had mentioned calling UFOs to you, and we'll get into that thing by singing here. I don't want to let that go because I know that that's a big part and parcel of what you do. But when you're calling UFOs to you, how do you know you're getting the good stuff? I mean, people use Ouija boards, and if they're unprotected, it's not a picnic in the park. So how do you know this is, you know, come here, you know, and how do you know the being at the other end isn't saying, lunch?
Well, I can appreciate that, really. And, you know, I have just never had any experiences that have been scary. I don't, I've put a protection around myself, and I've said, look, you know, I don't want any non-benevolent, I mean, I know that there are non-benevolent races. There's actually over 102 races coming back and forth to this Earth, and there are the negative ones that have been basically, so to speak, in bed with the government. I mean, there's been exchanges, there's been promises, there's been agreements of experimentation, but that's not been part of my experience. So when I'm out and I'm filming, it's just, it's a vibration and the frequency of tremendous love, happiness, peace, tranquility. But I have to say, when I was at Area 51...
You're going to have to say it in the next half hour.
Okay.
Hang on a minute. All right, so we'll leave Area 51 and Victoria Lillenquist right there with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. Indeed, if that voice sounds familiar, it's Bobby Helms, the guy who also had Jingle Bell Rock, which was played every Christmas for about 30 years ad nauseum. Unfortunately, Bobby didn't write that or this, but in keeping with the angel theme, I couldn't resist it. We're talking to Victoria Lillenquist, and you can go to victoriaslight.com. And, you know, she's had an NDE as well, and I want to talk about that and what that revealed, particularly in confirming or maybe separating from some of these UFO experiences, as well as her clairaudience. But we were leaving it right there at Area 51, which is where we'll pick it up. Perfect for this 11:11 with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. It's Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM. We've got Victoria Lillenquist with us, and of course, victoriaslight.com will give you more information, and the documentary she did was award-winning. And going back to Area 51, where we left you, talking about whether or not these are quote-unquote good ones, or what spirits were bringing in, you were saying?
Well, what I experienced is I went to a conference there at Area 51, and it is the one time that I realized I was filming some kind of a craft that was not of a benevolent nature, or it could have been one of the, you know, the government actually has constructed a lot of the UFOs that we, you know, see flying around. They're really, you know, those are not all the ETs. Some of them are governmental. And what happened is I got some footage early in the morning. And it blew my camera out, blew the battery out, as well as I got deathly ill filming it. So there was like radiation coming from that that particular craft. So I knew that that was negative. But, you know, with my other experiences, I've always had a real peaceful feeling. Now, there was one other time back when the ships were showing up in my backyard and I was being followed by some government people. I had a bush that was fried overnight. I mean, the whole bush went from a climbing, healthy vine up the fence to it just was fried overnight.
Well, that's not benevolent.
And so I believe that, but I believe that that was actually, could even have been a governmental harassment.
Attacking your vine?
Mm-hmm. Attacking, you know, the yard that when I was out watching the ships.
They got to do better than that.
Pardon?
They got to do better than that.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't sure what had happened. It was strange. So I sent the substance of the vine and the soil to someone that did some psychotronic testing on it,
mm-hmm.
And he said it had high doses of radiation in it.
Now, while you're saying radiation, two things come to mind. One is, how does HARP interplay with all of this interstellar activity?
Oh boy. Well, you know, They're certainly staying busy trying to make life miserable for us all with the chemtrails and
that's what I was getting to next was chemtrails. But HARP is particularly hazardous where we are because it blocks off half of the AM band with their nonsense when they're in high gear. And I was curious, you know, if it's killing my radio reception, it can't be doing much for flying objects.
But the HARP's not going to affect, the UFOs aren't, you know, that's not going to stop them.
No, but it's affecting us. Now, what have you heard from the UFO folks in terms of the real purpose of HARP?
Well, it's just one more strategy to desensitize us. I believe that they're releasing chemicals that are almost sedating humanity, you know, within minutes after, say, the chemtrails come over. I mean, I will definitely have a physical reaction of not a positive nature. And so, I mean, You know, I mean, I have not really asked the Brotherhood about the chemtrails, to be honest, because I'm just, you know, I'm just aware that I see that that's going on. And, you know, there are several scenarios going on right now. We've got a secret group, a secret government. I mean, there's a lot of people in government that are good people that probably, you know, mean well, or maybe they're in a situation where they're just waiting. They're waiting for certain events to transpire before they step forward and say, okay, yeah, you know, we're part of the good guys.
But, okay, tell me about the singing bit. You sing UFOs to you. So the first question is, why?
Well, okay. My music has been a real big part of my whole life. My parents were very musical, and I started singing in the stairwell when I was a child, toning and chanting and remembering a life in Egypt. I was remembering a lot of past lives as a child, and so the music was always really important for just the whole vibrational frequency that I was experiencing in my own body. And then when the ship started showing up and in the backyard, and then, of course, I wanted to go out where I could have a little more private contact with them, and I would go, and I would tone, and I would sing, and I channel music. In fact, all the music on my film and on the movie trailer on the website, that's a song that was inspired to me. It's called Heavenly Exodus, and you know, it really falls in line with the things that Dr. Hertak has spoken of about the Merkava vehicle taking us to the next exodus out of the old meridian of time.
Okay, so let's talk about that a minute, because you mentioned Merkava a few times. Tell me the difference between Merkava vehicles and UFOs.
Okay, Merkava vehicles are of more of a holographic nature, and they have a texture, kind of a cellular energy with them. And what's transpiring now in my footage since I got back, well, when I was in Italy and when I got over here to Colorado to live, is that I'm getting this jeweled, diamond-shaped vehicle that it's just, I've never had a diamond-shaped vehicle, but it's hovering over the lake outside this house that I'm living in, and they come every night, and they're magnificent. But the Merkava vehicle is a divine violet light that's a transporter back and forth between the worlds. Now, when I say holographic, that's one thing I'd like to discuss a little bit here, and that is that, you know, we're in a holographic universe. And so what is real and what is holographic? We go in and out of these holograms day to day. And one of the things that has transpired on film in my bedroom is I have the portal windows of the ship on my bedroom wall. So you're in your bed, and that's your stargate, and you're going back and forth between the worlds all night long. Everybody is having experiences. Maybe some are remembering them, some are not, unless they're totally cut off and in a lower frequency. But we are experiencing these magnificent holographic dimensions. Even sitting in the freeway, you can be going back and forth. So
let's get to these portal windows on your bedroom wall. I mean, you know, first thing I think is, gosh, all I wanted was a lake view. I assume you didn't pay extra for this feature, but did you look for this when you were moving to Colorado, saying, I want the vibratory essence of this place, and here are my portal windows, I'll move here? How did this happen?
Well, actually, the portal windows showed up in 1994.
So they just come with you?
Well, yeah, I haven't gotten them on the walls in this house. But I got them on the walls in Salt Lake City when I was living there.
Uh-huh.
And when I was in New York City for my world premiere 2 years ago on 11/11, by the way, was my world premiere. We were in a hotel room of 11/11, and I shot the camera in the dark, and I also got portal windows of the ship and the ceiling.
But nothing where you are now.
Hotel room.
Nothing where you are now, though.
In New York. No, not in the house, but outside.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you pick your location because of some vibratory essence?
Well, you know, Phoenix was has been a really great place to live, but it's become so congested, and I just really needed to come out to the country because the Brotherhood have instructed me that the time will come when, you know, they'll be transporting.
Okay. So you did check in with the other side before moving to see if this was going to be a good location.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, it was just one of those things that, you know, in my heart, I've wanted to move to this area where I am now for about 20 years.
Wow.
But I just had to wait for the right time. The thing is that when you look at the movie trailer, you will see on night vision, this one, it's about the size of two Goodyear blimps that circled 17 of us out in a field. And this was a pre-planned sighting that these folks followed me across the city from my lecture to this pre-planned location. And it was amazing. I mean, I think some people thought it was going to land. One girl says, oh, I hope there's a toilet on that.
Oh, great. Now, and I got a few more things I want to ask. Next hour, we're doing guest torture, open lines. So everybody will have
torture.
At you. Yeah, that's what I always call it. But now, you mentioned in some of your literature that you've had an NDE. And, of course, for most people who have NDEs, it's life-changing because they're almost blindsided by it. I assume in your case, you kind of had a handle on this, on what this might be. But what happened and when and what transpired?
Well, when I had my near-death experience, I had gone through numerous surgeries. My heart went into fibrillation. And the next thing I knew I was, you know, I was dead. I mean, I was going, oh, my God, you know. And then I just said, you know, Father in heaven, please, you know I'm a good person, you know, because I was in the void. I was in that darkness. And then I was taken up into a tube of light and came into a clearing, taken into a room where there were several beings standing in a circle, and they invited me to stand in the circle, and we looked, we were being shown the earth, and they told me what I had to come back and do. And
what was it?
What I'm doing now.
Okay.
You know, helping really, I'm helping bridge the worlds together.
Was there anything in that NDE that gave you more information than had already been transmitted to you through the beings?
Yes. I mean, they told me certain things, personal things about my life that have transpired that aren't really relevant to this radio show. But they did say that I had to come back because, you know, the biggest part of the initiatory assignment that I had to bridge the worlds together, to unite this dimension with our galactic societies, to create the galactic communities, which, you know, that's what I'm heavily involved in now, is, you know, calling forth all the individuals on the planet that want to be a part of building the cities of light.
And you do that.
Communities and the communities, even as a refuge, as we go through some of these more serious earth changes.
I assume that you do this to some degree on another plane rather than just dialing numbers at random. So when you're calling out to people to be part of this, I assume that their vibratory essence is picking up on this on some level.
Yes, and I put it out on Coast to Coast because I believe that there are individuals around the planet. So many people have different gifts. We all have our forte. And if we come together and bring our gifts and talents, or, you know, maybe someone has, you know, the ability to assist us in, we're looking at a lot of land that we want to start, you know, building these communities that are, you know, ecologically, you know, grow our own food. I've met individuals that can grow grass without water. You know, there's just interesting people coming together and to do these things. And that's one of the things that they showed me that I had to come back and do. And frankly, I really didn't want to come back into my body. It was quite painful. But the other thing that transpired, Raleigh, is that that's when I, after that, I channeled some music that's on one of my healing CDs. And I really believe that it's music. From the spheres, you have that one. It's the Journey to Empowerment, Self-Healing, and Inner Peace. And
okay, and that's a universal, I think, Victoria. Most people that we hear who have near-death experiences feel the same way. They like it where they are. They don't want to come back. Your literature also talks about your clairaudience, and of course you exhibit that with the beings and things of that nature, but are you able to tune into, say, departed earth spirits, like your departed loved ones?
Yes. I've had a lot of encounters with my my parents have both come from the other side. My mother's moved things in my house, and I mean, I've had, you know, quite in-depth experiences with her. And I've been in the healing arts for 30 years, as well as being a corporate dropout. I mean, you know, some people think, oh man, you know, that lady's probably just an airy fairy person. But I had a penthouse office in Houston, and I was in the corporate world and in the healthcare world. I have been very involved in the healing arts, and one of the things that I'm able to do when I'm touching people is that some of their relatives start to communicate, and I actually feel that person's family member or friend or whoever it is that's passed, their energy, their love, basically steps into my body. I mean, it brings tears to my eyes. It's so incredible. And what's really interesting is that the person on the table, without me really telling them what's happened, they will say, oh my gosh, I just felt this intense energy just come into my body.
Yeah, they can sense it. Now, since you're a visionary, do you ever see these people, these departed people?
Yes, I see the sort of aura fields around them, like when I was just a child, and I'm not really into organized religion now, but as a child, when I'd go to church, I used to see the beings walking back and forth behind the podium.
Okay, interesting.
And so I would still see silhouettes.
Did they look mad? Did they look upset? You know, I mean, organized religion isn't necessarily.
Well, you know, I was a kid. No, I wasn't seeing faces. I was seeing the aura fields, like the gold bean energy that you saw in Cocoon.
Sure.
It was kind of like that, just like that aura field around the bean.
Okay.
So I will see those. And then, of course, my dog, he had an interesting thing one night when we were out in the backyard and the ships were out there. And
okay, I'm gonna leave the dog right there in the yard, and you are, and we'll hear about the dog. Then I've got the one final question that I ask all the time, darn it, and I never get the answer I want, but we'll see. And then it'll be on to your turn. So open lines with Victoria Lillenquist. All your questions coming up next hour right here with Raleigh James on Coast to Coast AM.